So before I get started, I want to make sure that everybody's got one of these. Everybody's got one of these. If you don't have one, don't worry. We've got plenty in the back. We want to make sure that everyone's got one. Today, I'm excited. And if you don't have one, just raise your hand real quick. Don't worry. We're not going to put you on the spot. We're just going to put one of these in your hand. Today, and for really for the next couple weeks, it's going to feel a little bit different. In fact, I was thinking through all the series that we've done since we started. This October actually is going to be 5 years since we started here. Can we just worship God for that 5 years? And man, everything God has done, and you'll hear more about that at New Here, so you should come. But really, I've never really done anything like this because the closest thing I could think of is this kind of is going to feel like a little Bible study getting together, right? And some of you are real excited. Others of you are confused. Others are scared because you've been a part of Bible study, right? You're like, oh, what does this mean? So I'm going to try to do Bible study in a way that doesn't confuse anyone, doesn't lose anyone. In fact, you've recognized this if you've been coming to Blaze Church for even just a short time. Really, our weekend services are all really designed for people who don't know God. And so we make the language that we use during the message accessible, the songs that we choose accessible, the entire environment. We use anything we can short of sin, really, that your friends and family and you might know God. So we're gonna do a little bit of Bible study-esque, but we obviously want to create a touchless experience. And so this is great. You have a handout with all the fill-in-the-blanks filled out for you. So you don't even have to try and say, what was that? Can you put that screen back on? We just want to get you these resources for the next 3 weeks. As we go through this series. And what I want to do today is, the title of the message is First Response. I want to talk about a response that you and I can have no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens later today, no matter what happens in our day. My children are 6 and 4, and I talk often about them because I love them. And if you're parents, you know that's pretty much your world, especially when they're younger. And so I love the way that they respond because they're so animated. Both of them are, I believe, extroverts. They're high energy. If you've been around them, you know that. They're lots of fun. But they have different responses, but it always comes out with high bursts of energy. So whether it's an excited response, right? It's dessert time. Yes, let's do it. It's brush your teeth time. And they go scattering throughout the house. They always have a different response based on what's happening. And you and I live that way too. You don't have to just be kids, but you know, you might get a phone call that tells you you got the job, you got the promotion, and so you're going to respond a certain way. You might get the phone call that with some bad news from a doctor or from a friend or whoever it might be, and you'll respond a certain way. And what I want to do today is I really want to spend the next moments that we have together with sharing one response that you can have no matter what happens. Think about that. No matter what the news is, no matter what happens the rest of this year, you can have the same first response, we're calling it, the first response when you hear news or go through something. And now the whole idea of this series, as I said, Essential Worker, is that I want you to realize that you have value, that you have worth, and that if you're a child of God, if you've put your faith in Jesus, Scripture has something very beautiful to say about your identity, about who you are, and about your place in this world. And really, I see that most from the words of Peter. He was a disciple of Jesus, one of the 12 apostles. And if you've ever denied Jesus or abandoned him or felt like you let him down, so did Peter. That doesn't mean you can't do great things for God's kingdom. It means God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen? So we see that in the life of Peter. And Peter wrote down what he had to say. And I love the way he frames it when it comes to Jesus and us. He says, as you come to him, the living stone. So him is Jesus. Maybe you've heard Jesus referred to as the cornerstone, right? That key foundation to church, to Jesus, to knowing God. He says he's rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. He's talking about Jesus. Now he talks about us in verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot going on in that verse, and I know it can get confusing, and we're seeing words about a spiritual house and the holy priesthood, spiritual sacrifices. All of this, what Peter is saying, is you're essential. You have value. You have worth. Think about the image that he uses. If Jesus was that cornerstone piece, you know, when you lay a foundation for a structure, everything gets measured off that cornerstone piece. Is this thing flat? Is it going to have its stability? That cornerstone piece. And then you start to build bricks into the structure. Well, you and I in Christ are bricks. And that's amazing. Because Peter is saying that you're being put together with others to form this spiritual house, to form a place where people might know God and find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, whether or not you believe in Jesus today, I think we can all raise our hands for this one if you agree. How many think that the world needs a spiritual house? How many think that, okay, 2020 has shown us more than ever that we need God's principles. We need his ways to exist, ways of forgiveness and of love and kindness and reconciliation and healing and all of that. So the world is crying out for this, and Peter says, you're it. You're it. I'm going to share a message in 2 weeks, and one of the points is you're God's plan A, and there is no plan B. You're it. You are the church in this world, and that should excite us. And that's really why we want to discover these three healthy habits to making a critical impact. And so what I want to do is I want to introduce you to the first healthy habit. I'm going to introduce it in the form of one of the smallest, shortest verses in Scripture. It's a two-word verse. You're going to memorize a Bible verse today. You didn't think it was possible, but you're going to do it. And so here it is, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says this, pray continually. Well, let's say that together. Pray continually. You just memorized the Bible. Good for you, right? And I look at this verse, two words. One translation says pray without ceasing, pray always, pray continually. And it's two short words, but it's really hard, isn't it? It packs a punch. Maybe you look at that and you say, okay, Pastor Keith, how in the world am I supposed to pray continually? Are you saying that I have to quit my job, buy myself a cabin in the woods, move up there, and just be in this constant state of prayer? Is that the lifestyle? I don't believe so, maybe. But this is really about an attitude. It's really about our response in life. It's really about an ongoing connection that you and I are invited to have with the creator of the universe. I worded it this way when I was thinking and reflecting. It really means that you would say, God is there and I'm aware. That's what it means to pray continually. It means that your heart's attention, that your first response in all things is, I'm going to pray. We say it this way here. Two more words for you. It's this, pray first. Pray first. Go ahead, say it with me. Pray first. Pray first. Okay, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to pray first. I got to take this phone call. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to go into the meeting. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to send my kids off to school. I'm going to pray first. All of this, and I want to explain that it's not just religious and it's not just routine and it can't just become numb and just kind of this jargon language. No, it's really the attitude of our hearts that we embrace. I am an essential worker to this world, and to make a critical impact, I've got to adopt an attitude of pray first. Pray first. So what I want to do really is I want to answer a few big questions around prayer. I want to answer, what is prayer? You know, because how can we do something that we don't understand what it is? And then why do we pray? What's the motivation behind me adopting a pray-first attitude? And then finally, I want to show you a pattern of prayer that Jesus gave us so that you might know tomorrow morning how to pray. Now, I believe everyone's aware because we've been highlighting it for a couple weeks now. We're in a season of prayer as a church, 21 days of prayer, that twice a year in January and August, we commit to 3 weeks where we take pray first and we just really just bring it to the next level. We excel in it. That every day we have church services going live on our website, that every Saturday we've been gathering in this space to pray first. And I'll be honest, that way my agenda's not hidden. I'll put it right, I'll throw my cards on the table. My desire for you is that you would leave today having a renewed hunger for prayer that moves you to pray first in your life, that moves you to say, well, if the building's open for me to come and pray with others, I'm going to invest that 45 minutes. If there's an opportunity for me to pray at home, I'm going to pray. If groups are starting next month and there's a prayer group, I want to be a part of that. I really want you to adopt this because I believe that if this will be your attitude, pray first, you're going to just see what we just sang. You do miracles, the impossible. God works in prayer. So let's start with what is prayer. You've got it right there on your handout. What is prayer? You know, in searching for a definition and really trying to bring clarity, but also not making it so simple that we lose the depth of its meaning, I came across this in Timothy Keller's book, Prayer. And he says, we can define prayer as a personal, communicative response to the knowledge of God. And that's a kind of a long definition, but I like it because there's three words in there that I want to show you. Personal, communicative response. Personal. Prayer doesn't actually start here. Prayer starts here. Prayer doesn't start with words coming out of our mouth. Prayer starts with an attitude of our heart. It comes from a personal relationship with God. If you've ever tried to pray and you felt like nothing happened, there's a good chance that, like me, you've just said a prayer. You just kind of went through the motions because maybe you were at a church and they said, just repeat a few of these, throw one of those in, and you good. And you felt like, I don't know, I did it, I tried it, but it didn't really seem to, it didn't connect. Maybe it was like, remember dial up? Like it was like, I don't think I got a connection here. I need a modem. I need something that's always connected, right? And so it's personal. Everything we discussed today, if you don't own it, it's not gonna work. If I could say that, it's not gonna make a difference in your life. It's personal and it's communicative, which you know how to have communication with the people you love. You know how to have a conversation with a spouse or a friend or whoever it is. That's prayer at its heart. How amazing would my marriage be if I memorized what to say to talk to my wife every day? It wouldn't be amazing at all. It would feel robotic and routine and loveless and lifeless. It's communication. And this word is probably the most important word. It's a response. And the reason why that matters is because you've got to realize every time you pray, you're actually responding to a loving God who took the first step towards you. Prayer is our first response. It's not our first action. The first action was taken by a God who said, I'll send my son to this world to die for you. And so we respond through prayer. We respond. And what does he say at the end there? To the knowledge of God. That's why the first words you see when you walk in this space is know God. We believe every person is on a spiritual journey. And every spiritual journey begins first with knowing God. And I'll say this, and I might offend you all throughout this day. If you take offense, then just email me, rachel@blazechurch.org. Okay. We'll take care of it. Right? But I want you to realize this, that if prayer doesn't matter to you, there's a good chance you don't know God. And I've been in those seasons. In fact, throughout this COVID season, we could all probably share what we've learned. Hopefully we've learned things. One of the things that I learned was that prayer needs to truly be my first response. It needs to matter way more than I thought it mattered in my life. I need to have a healthy habit of prayer, not reactively, but proactively in life. If prayer doesn't matter to you today, if you can just look and say, oh, the church is 21 days of prayer, but I really can't make it out, or man, I'm going to just wake up and go through my routines, or I really don't need to pray about this, I'm just going to act on it and kind of treat prayer like a bail me out, a 911 call after the fact, there's a good chance you don't know God. Now, here's the beauty of that same statement. Today, you get to know God. That's the invitation of the gospel. Today, you get to respond to the gospel and put your faith in him. Say, God, I believe so strongly that you are in so much more control and so much more powerful than I am, that how can I not pray first? How can I not bring my children to you first? How can I not pray about this situation first? I believe in the power of my God, and so I'm going to pray. That's what prayer is. But knowing what something is isn't the same as knowing why something is, right? Because we all know what to do. But then Domino's tells us, mix and match, $5.99, two or more. Like, I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. Thank you, Lord, for this pasta bowl. Their Alfredo pasta bowl. I don't know. It's not Italian, but it's so good. Right? So I want to share with you why pray. And really, there are so many reasons why we could pray. So many reasons. I want to give you just two. And the first is this. Prayer changes you. The second, prayer prepares you. You have it written down, so you don't even have to take notes today. Just take it all in. But prayer changes you and prayer prepares you. Maybe you said this before, you've heard this before, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just want to expound on it. You've heard that prayer changes things, and I believe that that's true, but I want you to understand the first thing to change when you pray is you. And I don't like that too much, if I'm honest, because I'd rather pray for that person and God, you do something about that person. I'd rather bring to God my request. God, I need you to heal this person. God, I need you to change. Now, at the same time, God invites us. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. We bring our requests to him. He's a good father. But when you begin to adopt a lifestyle of prayer, a habit of praying, you're going to change, and it's going to be for the better. Your faith is going to start to grow. Your experience of the goodness of God, the glory of God, the grace of God, I'm running out of G words. All of this, it's going to grow because you're going to change when you come to God. And in fact, I'm going to show you in the prayer that Jesus gives us how wrong it is to start off by saying, God, my will be done, my kingdom come. It's not the words of Jesus, but it's easy to lean that way. So you should pray because you need to change and I need to change. And the greatest pathway to change to be more like Jesus, to see more of the heart of God is through prayer, a habit of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer, a pray-first attitude. And the second thing is this, and I think this is more true than ever before, especially this year, prayer prepares you. See, you might look at this year and say, no one could have been prepared for what happened. And that's true to a certain extent. But the reality is, if you had a lifestyle of prayer going into this year, you were prepared in some sense. Sure, you didn't have all the fine details figured out of how do I do my job now? How do I navigate parenting? How do I navigate school? How do I navigate finances? All of this. But the broad strokes, you were prepared because you already knew your response. Prayer. Prayer prepares you for whatever comes tomorrow. I'll give you some examples. If tomorrow God is going to show you more of his goodness and his grace, you're going to open up scriptures and you've never seen it before, but all of a sudden the pages are glowing and it feels like Michael is there with you at the coffee table and he's like, let me point you to this psalm. And all of a sudden you're seeing more of God. You know what prayer does? Prayer prevents pride from getting in your heart. If you don't have a lifestyle of prayer, God cannot show you more of himself, because the second he does, you're going to be one of those proud Christians. You know, the ones you blocked on Facebook yesterday because they shared another article of what's wrong with you in the world. You're gonna be one of those proud Christians. If you don't have a lifestyle of prayer, we can all do it. I can do it. You need to be prepared for God to show you more of his grace. Maybe tomorrow for you is going to hold trials and difficulties. Nothing you'd ever wish for, nothing you'd ever hope for, but something in your body's not going to work right. Something financially is going to be off. Something spiritual is going to feel disconnected. Well, prayer is going to prepare you so that you don't lean down a road of despair, so that like Job, you can say the Lord gives, he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That will only come when prayer is a lifestyle and a habit. Maybe tomorrow, the prayer that we probably all have is that scratch off's finally going to work. Right? All right, that's not an encouragement or endorsement for gambling, people. We're just joking here. But I'm going to get some riches and God's going to bless me and the raise is going to come and the promotion is going to come. And suddenly I'm going to have more. Well, if God is to trust you with more, a lifestyle of prayer means that when more comes, you're already prepared to be a good steward, a good manager of what he wants to give you. You already have a lifestyle. Now you don't have to say, God, what do you want me to do with this? You've already been asking him. You've already been praying, God, provide for me. And so now you have. So I'm going to use it the way you call me to. The best way to be prepared for what you don't know is coming up is prayer. Does that make sense? Is this moving you to want to pray? I hope it is. So this is what prayer is. This is why we pray. But now we get down to really nuts and bolts, the rest of this message. I just want to teach you a prayer. How do we pray? Because maybe you've attempted prayer before. Maybe you were intimidated by prayer because you heard someone praying and they started off, they got a little deeper in their voice and said, Thou art great. And you were like, I'm out of here. I don't know the rest of this. King James, don't do it for me. I can't track with that. Maybe, and so you're intimidated and you feel like I can't pray that way. Or maybe you're the product of popcorn prayer. Anyone ever had a popcorn prayer experience, right? Let me explain it for those of you who haven't been scarred by this before. Popcorn prayer is just when the teacher or whoever will say, okay, we're going to pray. Everyone's going to pray today in the room. And Evan, once you're done praying, I want you to say Petey. And Petey, then it's your turn. And once you're done, you're going to call on Helen. And the whole time, you're not even listening to the prayers. You're rehearsing your prayer in your head. And you're just thinking, I know what I'm going to say. And then Petey prays for the missionaries, and you are going to pray for the missionaries. And now you're angry at him, so you've got to now deal with forgiveness before you can even pray. And so if that's ever been your experience, then I understand why you don't want to pray. Or maybe you were taught a beautiful childhood prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, and you went to bed worried out of your mind every night that you were going to die before you wake, and thankfully, none of you did because you're here today. So, but if that's been your experience, then I understand why you say, I don't know how to pray. Or maybe more realistically, as adults, you went to a church and you were taught to say a prayer and you just kind of prayed it, but it felt like every time you did, it just came from here and it bounced off the ceiling and came right back at you. And like, I don't think it worked. Nothing seems to be moving here. So I want to actually show you a prayer in Scripture that is very common in culture, but I want you to see the heart behind it. That Jesus didn't give us a prayer to pray so that we can memorize words and just lift them up when we get in trouble, but rather we can identify a pattern of prayer so that we might always have a means to pray. So if you've ever thought, I don't know how to pray, you're in good company because neither did the disciples. In fact, Luke 11:1 says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Think about that. One of the 12 disciples, one of these Jewish guys who had grown up knowing prayers, hearing prayers, memorized the first 5 books of Scripture, the Torah. And they see Jesus praying and they say, "Teach us to pray like that. The way that you prayed was so different than the prayers we were taught to say and pray. What was that?" And Luke records it and Matthew records it. And so Jesus responds and he says this, and he says, "In this manner," let me pause there for a second. "In this manner," which really, he doesn't say memorize this. He doesn't even say just say this. But he says, "In this way," really, "in this manner." Here's a path to prayer. Here's a way to pray. Here's an outline. Here's a pattern. "In this manner, in this way, therefore pray." And it's going to be on the screen. I'm going to invite you to say it. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying these words. In fact, I think maybe we've allowed culture to hijack these words and convince us it's wrong. It's not wrong to say it. In fact, my children, they've already memorized this prayer. We pray it at night and pray it at different seasons, but let's say this together. He says, "Therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And I could tell who memorized it because some of you said amen there and the other said amen there. but we're given this prayer, and we call it today the Lord's Prayer. But what I want you to realize is that by responding to the disciples' request, "Teach us to pray," Jesus was showing them a pattern for prayer, a way to pray that has 7 focuses in it. And this is just one pattern, and this isn't the only pattern, and this isn't even a right or wrong way. I just wanted to put something in your hands today that I feel like most of Long Island culture especially would recognize. Maybe you've heard it or said it at a funeral or a wedding or in church service before, but I really want to get to the heart of it. Because remember, prayer doesn't start here, it starts here. So I want to show you these 7 focuses that we see in this prayer, and you have them all written down on your sheet, and so when you go home, you'll be able to use this. But the first is this: our Father in heaven. And what Jesus is really saying there is connect with God relationally. Before you move any further in prayer, but before anything else comes out of your mouth or enters your heart, the first focus is you're a father. I'm connecting with you relationally. The God of the universe, I get to call you dad. See, I've got triggers that I build into my life that kind of form habits and remind me when to do certain. I use environment around me to remind me. You have this too, like the steering wheel should remind you, put on your seatbelt, right? That's a trigger. So for me, when I wake up and my feet first hit the floor, some cold hardwood floor, it's a reminder to say, "Good morning, dad." First words I want to say, "Morning, dad." Doesn't matter if I'm running late and realized I overslept or I'm getting up early. "Good morning, Dad. Good morning, Dad. I want to connect with you relationally today. I want to recognize that I can come into your presence with thanksgiving and with joy, that I know you as a father." It's very different than approaching God as this distant religious being that I have to try to impress to get him to listen to me. No, our Father in heaven. I love it when my kids first wake up, especially my little girl, my 4-year-old Cece. Because she wakes up now around 6:30, and I've already been up praying and reading, and she opens her door always the same way. She comes out, hair's out to here. I don't know what happened in the middle of the night for her. She's hair's out. She got the bed head, and she has her Minnie Mouse pink blanket and her little stuffed teddy bear called Fluffy, and she kind of stumbles out to me in the family room, and she does the same thing every morning. She comes, and she stands in front of me. She turns around, and I'm sitting there. She stands back to me, and I know what that means. I take the blanket. I wrap it around her. Scoop her up my arms, and I put her on my lap. And I begin to just pray, "You're a daughter of God. God has a plan for you today. You're anointed. You're appointed for great things." And what she does in that moment is she approaches me without any hesitation. She comes simply because there's a relationship. She knows that she can get up in my lap and cut and snuggle close to me. And I truly believe this. That's what your Heavenly Father wants you to do. It's an image that he wants you to have. He wants you to realize that you just snuggle up close to the creator of the universe. my Father in heaven. I want you to know him that way today. And then Jesus said, let's read this verse. In Romans, it says that we cry out, Abba, Father. Right? That term really just means Daddy God, or my dad. I don't have a spirit of fear. You don't have to approach God as a fearful slave, but rather you've been adopted as his own children. And so we come to him that way. And then he says, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed is really just a big fancy word for holy. You're set apart. And it's not just you, God, it's your name that's holy. And so what we do is we worship his name. And you might say, well, God's name is God, isn't it? No, scripture is filled with the names of God that really show us who he is. That he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. That he's our healer, that he's our defender, that he's our redeemer, our rock, our good shepherd. He's all of this. These are his names. And I'm telling you, when you go into prayer and you start to pray, and it's going to be seasonal for you too. Maybe today the name of God you need to worship is the name healer. God, I'm going through something physically and I need to know that you're the healer. I'm worshiping your name. Right? His name is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they find safety. They find refuge. God, I need you to know that you're my Prince of Peace. I think all of us this year, we need to know God's the Prince of Peace. He's the Everlasting Father, the Counselor, the Mighty God. These are his names. I love it when he introduces himself to Moses. Moses says, what's your name? He says, I am. Go on. No, that's it. I am. Meaning I am everything that you need. I'm all of it. Everything you see around you, that's me. That's your God. You worship his name. And then you pray, my kingdom come, my will be. No, we don't pray that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Really, that's where I'm saying prayer changes you. You start to pray his agenda first. Before you even get to your needs and that list, no, I'm going to pray that your will would be done, God. Too often I've treated God like a genie and prayer like a lamp. And if I could just pray the right prayers and rub that thing right, we did Aladdin last week, right? And I could just pray the right way, then somehow I'm going to get what I need. No, we pray your kingdom come. Your will be done. Pray his agenda first. It's so beautiful that Jesus tells us, before you get to you're next, don't worry, you're the daily bread part. Before you get to you, pray for others. Pray for God's kingdom. God, I pray for your will to be done in government authorities. I pray for your will to be done in my family, in my friends' lives. I pray for your will to be accomplished in me and through me. And this is a promise of Scripture. Jesus says, Luke chapter 12, he will always give you all you need from day to day. He'll take care of you. He's your provider. You make the kingdom of God your primary concern. You want to know if I could sum up the will of God in one word? This is what I would say it is. Others. Others. It's others. Jesus told the story where God would leave the 99 to chase down the one. Where if there was 10 coins and 9 were found and 1 was lost, God's very concerned about that lost one. See, if one of my kids is lost, I don't say, well, 1 out of 2 is not bad. I mean, 50%, I'll take those odds. You don't say that. No one would say that about their children. You'd say, Nate, I don't have time for you right now. I've got to find your sister. She's lost. Come on. You focus on the lost. Start praying for the lost in this world, for those who don't know God yet. That's his will. And then depend on him for everything. Give us this day our daily bread. This is where you come to God, and everything that you have, you recognize it comes from him. It's all his. You might say, no, I worked for this. I got the job. I got the promotion. God filled your lungs with air. God sustained you. He created you. Everything you see, I love a psalm says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything around us is God's. And so we depend on him. And truthfully, if I was writing this prayer, I would have said, give us this day our annual loaves. That would be way easier, right? If it was just that God's going to provide for the whole year. But Jesus said daily bread. Daily bread. That's a reminder. Daily. Remember, this is a habit of prayer. This is a healthy habit where you pray first in all things. So I depend on him for everything. Then he says, pray this, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Really, Lord, forgive us of our sin. I want my heart to be right with you, but I also need my heart to be right with the people around me. I also need to forgive those who have hurt me. And if you'll make this a priority in your life, then you're gonna do what I'm gonna call pre-forgive. You're gonna pre-forgive people. How great is your Monday going to be if you pre-forgive the person who cut you off in the line at Starbucks? Right? You look at them and you don't get angry. I already forgave you, you jerk, this morning. Well, God bless you. I already forgave you. I forgave you 3 hours ago, so I'm good. You just go ahead right in, cut me off. My, your life is going to be way, you're going to live out the best life that God has for you when you make a pre-decision to forgive. That's really why we pray first. God, you've forgiven me. How could we be people who really understand the gospel? That's why I say if prayer doesn't matter, you may not know him. You may not understand the gospel. Because how can we be people who have been forgiven of so much and not forgive? You need to have a deeper revelation of how much you've been forgiven of so that you might forgive others. And so we forgive and we're forgiven. And then Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. And really what this is the reminder that you and I forget. I know I forget it. That what we see is not all there is around us. And this isn't to spook you or to freak you out. See, culture has kind of hijacked this conversation as well. And through movies and conversations, we either laugh off spiritual truths or we get freaked out by it and say, no, I want nothing to do with that. I want you to realize that you are engaged in spiritual warfare, that there is an enemy for your soul. Scripture says he prowls around looking who he might steal, kill, destroy from. Who might he devour? And your enemy works very, very hard. And I think a tragedy would be if the enemy of our souls is working harder at destroying us than we are at being conquerors, at praying, at surrounding our family members with prayer. God, I come against that spirit of addiction right now. I come against that spirit of loneliness that has overwhelmed that person. I declare the Prince of Peace to rule where there is a heaviness. Lord, I want to trade off that garment of heaviness for a spirit of praise. That's warfare prayers. In fact, we have those written in our prayer guides, our pray first prayer guides that we give out at our prayer services. There's a whole section of warfare prayers for marriages and for healing and for addiction and for freedom. Because we believe what Scripture says, that when you pray, it's not just words that you're saying. You really are engaging in a fight. Paul said this in Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers and against the authorities and the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. And I think too often we can either fall on either side of the spectrum with this. We can over-spiritualize it and say there's a demon behind every sneeze, right? Or we can under-spiritualize it and say there's no such thing. And I'm telling you, neither is good. You probably have a natural leaning where you go. And what I'm encouraging you to do today is to find what Scripture says, that you truly want to engage in war. That's why I pray over my house. I pray over my children. I pray no weapon formed against my kids will prosper in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you have a plan for their lives, that the enemy has an agenda. You want to know what the enemy's agenda is for your life tomorrow morning? He's going to wake up and he's going to write it down. I don't know if he'll really do that, but he's going to write Keith on the top and he's going to write sin, temptation. That's his agenda. It's the whole thing. If I can get him to sin, if I can tempt him, that's his agenda for your life and for the lives of the people that you love. And so we're invited to pray first and to come into this battle. Is this making sense? I got one more focus for you. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And really what we do is we start off prayer with connecting with God relationally, and we sandwich the whole thing by recognizing you're in control, God. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the might. Yours is the authority. Yours is the power. Everything flows from you. All victory is yours. I love this because really what you're saying at the end is, God, everything I pray today, none of it makes you nervous. Every prayer that I brought to you, none of it scares you. None of it has you getting the angels in a team huddle. All right, we got to figure this one out. Global pandemic. Stuff's happening. How are we? None of it made you nervous today, God. No. It's. Look at what Jeremiah says. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, your outstretched arm, God's arm stretched out, created. And then he says, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard. God, as I look at this situation, it is so hard for me, but not for you. Nothing's too hard for you, God. See, this is why spiritual stones, living stones, bricks in this world, we need to have a healthy habit. You need to adopt a mindset and an attitude to pray first, a lifestyle of prayer where your first response is prayer. And I'm gonna challenge you this week that you would do this, that tomorrow when you wake up, find yourself something. Maybe it's your coffee cup, whatever it is. Maybe it's just when you're getting dressed, it's a reminder. Oh, I'm going to pray first right now. I just want to start my day just praying to God, just thanking him. Lord, thank you for waking me up. Today I want to be a living stone for you. Help me forgive those who have hurt me. I come against the enemy right now. He has a plan, but his plan won't succeed. I want to be the good news of the gospel today. Just pray first. You're going to get phone calls this week you didn't plan for. Before you swipe or hit the green button, Lord, whatever's on the other side of this call, you are in control. How can I help you? Right, just pray first. You get in your car. Lord, clear the way. Traveling mercies. Pray first. If you will adopt this individually and then collectively as a church, I'm imploring you. Today's day 15 of our 21 days of prayer. There's one more week for you to build a healthy habit. We do this 2 times a year for 3 weeks so that healthy habits might happen. Take this week. Do it. On Saturday morning, 9 a.m., come here. Gather in this space. Be encouraged by being around others. I know you might say, Pastor Keith, I'm already coming out on Sundays. I got to come on Saturdays too. I'm telling you, the return on that investment is going to be so big, you are not going to regret it. I promise you, you won't regret. In fact, money back guarantee. I don't have any money, but I'll give you something. You won't regret it. You won't come to prayer and say, I shouldn't have come today. You won't. You will be encouraged. You will be an encouragement to another person who saw you and heard you praying for them. You're going to find joy in it. So this Saturday at 9 a.m., it's our last prayer gathering in this space. Come out. Well, so we don't even do reservations for it. So honestly, my vision is that it'll be so filled out that the state has to shut us down. They just get wind of it. Wow, that church, man, they packed that thing out. Look at all those people. We want to pray together. Let me give you this quote. Timothy Keller's book again. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. Prayer is the key. You have the key. This is how you connect personally in a communication response with the God of the universe. We pray. We pray. And so this morning, I want to pray that you and I would be people who pray first. You would build this habit. We want to resource you. And so we have a webpage, blazechurch.org/prayer. This is on that webpage for you digitally. Our print copies we give out at our prayer services. Be here this Saturday, 9 a.m. And we want to be people who pray. So let me pray right now that our hearts would be stirred. Did you enjoy this? Was this good for you? I know it was a little bit different, but just want to make sure you're encouraged up. Really be an essential worker for God. So let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be people who pray first. Thank you that we can be people who love you and who honor you. And Lord, really just our first response in everything is to pray. It's to seek you. And so Lord, I thank you for this morning that we have to gather in this space and to be online. And Lord, to really just get fired up again and rejuvenated and reminded, or maybe for some a first time hearing this, of what prayer is and why and how we pray. God, we are expecting miracles and expecting great things and expecting more of your glory as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.